Hello, everybody. Jerry Jones here with Jerry Jones Direct and the Jerry Jones Direct radio show / podcast. And with me today, I've got a gentleman who has been a longtime Jerry Jones Direct member. Goes back, I think, to the beginning of our Clear Path Society and even before that. We've known each other for probably as long as I've been involved in dentistry, I'd have to say. So I've watched his career and he's been very kind and watched mine and we've had a lot of interesting conversations over time and I'm excited to have him with us on the show today. So I'd like to introduce everybody to Dr. Lon Peckham, and Dr. Peckham's up in the Priest Rapids area of Idaho, or Priest River, Priest Rapids,
Priest River.
It's northern Idaho, where it is absolutely beautiful, where there are more elk than humans, and one of the places that I really like because of that. There are more fewer humans than elk, and that's a good thing. And Dr. Peckham's unique and in so many interesting ways. And I'll start with this. He has a dental practice that is unlike any other you've probably heard of. And I've never heard of anybody doing what Lon does. But this is his, I think, maybe second or third iteration of a dental practice, because he's been involved in practices and started them and sold them. Anyway, Lon is a very accomplished dentist. His resume is pages and pages long. Kind of been there, done that. And so I'm excited to have him on the podcast with us today. And Lon, our conversation today really got sparked with an email I sent out about the oral systemic connection and, helping docs be braver, or more brave rather, in their promotion of that connection and really what it can mean to a patient. And I'm sort of the, and keep in mind, everybody knows by this time, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an attorney. I have no credentials at all. But I have some very strong beliefs. And one of my beliefs is this. If I were a dentist, I would rather be at risk being over aggressive in recommending treatment than under aggressive. Because as a patient, I want the doctor who is going to be pro Jerry living a long time, not anti Jerry living a long time. That's just kind of the way I see it. Ron and I got into this conversation over email about promoting oral systemic connection. And there are some areas you probably should pay attention to. And it's why I bring people like Lon onto the podcast, is because not only does he have an experiential opinion, he's also got the first part of that, which is experience. And so I'm really excited to have you on the show today, Lon. How's it going?
Good, good. Yeah, I want to meet the guy you just talked about.
Pretty cool dude. He wears cowboy boots, and he's got a cowboy hat. He's got some horses, and he loves to go elk hunting. He's got a hell of an interesting story. He's got a lot of good stories. So he's a cool dude. You should meet him sometime.
Well, yeah, Jerry, we cut to talking about the oral systemic thing, and preventive medicine is something that it's just got kind of in my blood. I was raised with it. My dad was a medical director at a hospital that actually lost its Blue Cross accreditation because they weren't using enough drugs. And Blue Cross says, there's no way you can be doing things right because you're not using enough drugs there, So, so we, like I said, it's preventive medicine and healthy living is kind of in my genes, and been interested in it for a long time. But so when, as a dentist, when we started to see research coming in showing the connection between periodontal disease and other parts of the body, I got real interested and excited about that. Said, here's something I can tell patients about, tell people about. And one of the things that came out, I'm trying to think, maybe it's 10 years ago, study came out showing a link between dementia and tooth loss. Mm-hmm. So I looked at that and I said, that'd be an interesting thing to put in an ad and try to motivate people to take care of their teeth. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And a couple months later, I got a cease and desist order from my state board. They said, you can't do that. You're trying to take advantage of susceptible individuals and scare them into getting dental work done. And so I said to say, I kind of laughed at that. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, it's people have a right to know. Like you said, you want to know what it is involved in staying healthy.
Right. And
that's what we should be in the business of. So, and how do you define a susceptible individual? That seemed kind of a nebulous concept to me. So, as you know, you know me long enough that I have a cheeky side to me. So I went on my website, and I posted an article on my website that said, warning, I'm going to tell you something that your state dental board doesn't want you to know. And if you are a susceptible person, please don't read any further. So I got a target on my back pretty fast with that. I thought maybe it'd be hidden on my website and it'd just be for my patients. You know, I didn't publish this in the newsletter or anything, but somebody found it. Somebody was watching me.
So, always watching.
Always watching you. So I guess that would be lesson number one is don't be a smart ass. But that's also in my genes, so I kind of can't help that. So the board took a dim view of that when they saw that, and they wanted to reprimand me, and I can't remember what all they were going to do to me at that point, but obviously, you know, one of the big threat was we're going to jerk your license.
Right.
And that's always, no matter how minor it is, they hope they hang that over you. It's just, you know, you better listen and do what we tell you because this could happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I protested and ended up in front of a hearing officer. You know, it's when the state dental board, at least in our state, wants to come down on you, you don't get tried by a jury of your peers. You don't go through that process that I thought we all got to go through. This is the best we could do was go in front of this hearing officer. And so the state board, I brought my expert in. I brought I had probably a foot high pile of papers and articles defending my position. You know, this is a real thing and you got to be, we have a right to tell people about it. And the board's attorney, just their expert was a board member. And the board member said, I don't care about any of that shit. I don't agree with you. And that's that. And the hearing officer basically rubber stamped the board.
Sure.
You know, he wasn't about to do any real thinking on that subject, you know, he just rubber stamped the board. So then I was in a position, do I knuckle down or do I see how far I can take this? So I decided to take it farther. And I did something that has never been done before in this state. I complained and we ended up in front of the state Supreme Court. And we argued our case in front of the Supreme Court. And the thing that was interesting and frustrating to me about that whole process is really my attorney and all five of the judges on the Supreme Court that heard us, they really weren't interested in the science. That wasn't what was interesting to them. What was interesting to them was the politics involved.
Yeah, right.
And so they ended up giving us, ruling in our favor, 5-0, just slam dunk, settled the case, you know, that I've got a right to say whatever I want, you know, as long as I've got something to back it up.
Right.
But that as you can imagine, that took a number of years and hampered my practice in the meantime and took an emotional toll doing all of that. It's not something I'd recommend anybody do, but unless you're just a hard-ass dumbhead that says this is right and I'm going to do what's right no matter what, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've set a hugely important precedent for all professionals, all medical professionals.
Well, that's really one reason why I wanted to tell the story was because, you know, I really haven't told anybody about it before outside of some of my patients. So,
yeah. I have a question. What year did this happen? How long ago has it been?
We ended up the settlement ended about 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So there really wasn't, and where I was, what I was thinking was just all of the, I mean, because, you know, 10 years ago, probably you were really, really active in promoting your practice. And that practice, I think you sold, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would explain why we didn't leverage that more because I think that's a story that, you know, I mean, which dentist do you want to go to? The one that stands up for his rights and, you know, is willing to take it all the way to the Supreme Court of his state, or some mamby-pamby, you know, limp-wristed loser that isn't willing to stand up for himself? I mean, to me, it goes to the character of, you know, who you are, what you stand for. It's your brand, you know, it's like this. It's what a cowboy would do. I'm going to go fight for my right. No. And so, I mean, to me, that's a huge promotional opportunity in addition to, you know, the actual, you know, the reason why and you know, and the story behind it.
Yeah. You know, so you're absolutely right. Then you would have to be careful doing that. And I've you know, in my new iteration here, I have started talking about it among the patients and trying to leverage that, as you say. But you want to do that. I think I now want to do that without trying to embarrass the board.
A little different view. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've already got a target on my back. And so there's no, you know, I want to continue to stand up for what I believe is right. Maybe be a little less cheeky about it, but still get the job done. There's ways to do that. But,
well, I think that would speak to then the maturity, the maturation of the maverick.
You would, after 60 years, maybe you should be getting mature enough to be able to tone it down a little bit.
Well, I have a real good friend. I think you've met him, and he's a few years older than you. And in fact, I'd say he's my best friend. Like you, pushed the envelope his whole career. And I think he's kind of, you know, as he sort of wound up his career in business and, you know, does more volunteering and helping me and whatever, you know, he's also kind of found that maturation point where I'll say it, but I'll say it in a way that isn't going to, you know, ruffle the feathers of the whole, you know, the whole state. I think that's a good lesson as well. It's not often what you say, it's how you say it, that can get you in trouble. But I'm like you, I've had my experience, you know, getting myself in trouble and popping off, and mine was very costly as well. And but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. I think maturation helps. I'd love to talk about your and that's an important story. So let's go back before we go on, because I want to talk about your dental practice too, because I think it's a model that I just love it. And I love it for all the reasons that are going to be evident. But if you were advertising and promoting a general practice today, what would you be saying about the oral systemic connection in your marketing? What would you want your prospective patients to know in order to attract the kind of patient who is going to be receptive to your treatment planning and to your philosophy? What would you be putting out there in front of them, and how?
Well, there's just, you know, there's so much more, and it's just almost every day there's more coming out. So that's, you know, it's from diabetes to Alzheimer's to heart disease. Now, you know, it's no longer just a link. There's no longer just an association, but we really have as much proof as science can give of causation. You know, if you follow Bale and Donin, they're now talking about how periodontal pathogens are involved in a causative way in over half of heart attacks. I mean, that is huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And so, you know, we have to be telling our patients about this. When I'm doing my marketing now along those lines, I am careful to put in some kind of caveat in there that, you know, I'm not telling you that I'm going to get rid of your heart disease. I'm not telling you that by taking care of your periodontal issues that I'm going to cure your heart disease or whatever it is I'm talking about. It's, I want to make sure and it's clear to my patients and to the board that I recognize there are, it's a multifactorial process. It's never just one silver bullet that's going to solve the problem. But to deny that dentistry is not a huge part of systemic health and that dental health is hugely significant, I think it's to do a real disservice to my patients, to the public.
Yeah, I would agree. What, and I just, I recently created a pretty aggressive, gigantic postcard for a client, and it was all based on oral, this link, the oral systemic link. And I think you're right. I think, you know, it makes sense not only to inform them, but also to let them know that, hey, just because we clean up your periodontal health doesn't mean you're never going to have a heart attack. I think, you know, now you'd think that that would be obvious, you know, that I couldn't continue to eat Big Macs every day and not expect to have a heart attack.
Well,
because I'm going to the dentist. Right.
But remember the country we're living in. This is the country where on the bottom of every restaurant menu, it says consuming raw meat could cause you problems. And you go to Europe and they laugh at us. You know, of course, we have our litigious society makes it so that we are required to state the obvious.
Right.
And, it doesn't make sense, but we just have to do some of those things. So yeah, it should be obvious, but in order to stay out of court,
right,
we have to do some stupid things.
Right. No, I get it. I totally understand. Communicating this to your patients, what methods are you using now? Is it predominantly conversational? Is it handouts? Are you mailing them stuff? Are you emailing them things? How are you communicating this information as it comes out to patients?
Yeah. So all of the above, the coffee table in my reception area has a copy of, Mike Greger's book, How Not to Die. It's got, I'm a real fan of a health magazine called Vibrant Life. So I keep, issues of Vibrant Life there. I actually, for my A-list patients in my newsletter, they get a copy of Vibrant Life delivered to their home every other month, along with whatever I feel like is important to talk about. So I usually, you know, in my newsletter talk about health or whatever's relevant at the time.
You're actually mailing a printed newsletter.
Imagine that. I knew this guy once. And he talked me into it. He told me if my patients didn't hear from me over a 10-month period that they wouldn't be my patients anymore. So he converted me.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that for you. You're talking earlier about how long we've been working together, you know. You started working for me when you're still working for Travis.
That's like 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a long time. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that was what you were doing is you were doing the newsletter deal there. Yeah, I've been doing it ever since, one form or another.
Good, good. Yeah, that's a lost art form in dentistry, unfortunately. Most of the new young bucks who have it all figured out, you know, because they found it on YouTube or or somebody Instagrammed it, you know, they don't understand that an email has no life cycle or an Instagram post or anything else that they're doing electronically has no staying power at all. But right. Maybe they'll figure that out over time. I'm sure there's one or two that have, but be loath to admit it probably. Well, let's talk about your practice, because I think the model of practice that you have right now is something I've never heard of. I mean, so could you spend a little bit of time maybe where you got
inspiration? I haven't heard of it either before, you know. It's if you haven't figured out anything about me now, I got to do things differently. And tried to figure out how to, you know, what I want to do with the rest of my life. And spending the rest of my life golfing or fly fishing or elk hunting. I mean, that's as much as I enjoy all of those things besides golf. I've discovered about myself that if my hobby becomes full time, it's no longer a hobby anymore. It's a job and it loses its allure. And I want to stay relevant as long as I can. And so, but I also don't want to have roller skates on, running around, doing the typical practice thing. Living here in North Idaho, I've gotten really good at doing comprehensive dentistry, a piece at a time, phasing dental work and you know, working with limited funds until we finally get the job done. And then there's still people that can't even do that, you know, so that's been frustrating to me. And you know, so just, you know, from wounded veterans to battered women, they're just people that need a leg up once in a while. And, you know, you don't have to have a special practice to do that. I just got back from the Alumni Association at the Dawson Academy and had dinner with a guy who's been working with Raw. And, he's done a tremendous amount of work for them, just, you know, and he's doing that out of his typical practice. But I decided I'd sold my practice, took a sabbatical, and decided I wanted to get back into it. And how was I going to do it? And so I decided to do it as a nonprofit. Just if for no other reason to help me focus my mind on what I'm doing.
Right.
Why I'm doing it. So it's a nonprofit practice. I started it by renting a friend's office one day a week and did that for 9 to 12 months, just one day a week going in and working, you know, so all I had to do is take some of my own supplies and find somebody who's willing to work for me for one day and managed to do that. Mm-hmm. And then it grew, and so I leased a space here in Priest River. So that was in Post Falls, and I'm still doing that one day a week in Post Falls. And now I've got the Priest River office, and I started this here just with my loops and a chair and a Dremel, basically.
Uh-huh.
And started off just doing dentures.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you know, if you needed something beside the denture, you had to go down to Post Falls to get it done. And we've now got it built out so that between what I call my fair fee patients, the patients just pay a full fee, and some donations that we've received. And that's one of the benefits of being a nonprofit is, you know, when I started this, one of my study club members had just purchased a new building, completely outfitted. The state was closing down their clinic, and it was right across the street from his. And it was a lot nicer than his. So he bought theirs and moved his over there. And they did a bunch of stuff there, like surgery and root canals and stuff that he doesn't like to do. So he said, "Lon, I've got some equipment from my old office, and I've got some new equipment that I don't use. So you know, once again, you know, that was a great donation to help us get started here as well. But we've started it, like I said, just real simple, one step at a time, staying completely out of debt. And and now we've got it built out that, you know, we can do 3D imaging here and do all of our implant placements and surgeries. And we can do the one thing I kept from my old practice was my microscope. So, you know, I feel very comfortable doing root canals and stuff since I got a microscope. It's always been my philosophy. If I can't do it to the standard that the specialist down the road can do it to, then I better send them to the specialist.
Sure.
So, I've, you know, we've got all of that stuff here, and it's a pretty sophisticated treatment we're able to do here.
So
I'm doing it, you know, like I said, it's my retirement hobby practice. So, I work 10 to 4, 2 days a week here, and I see one patient at a time. I only have one operatory. And, cause I've always seen just one patient at a time.
Right.
So, when I, my hygienist comes in and I do other business while she uses the operatory. And so that's a third day that, that we have hygiene that I'm doing stuff like talking to you or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's my life right now.
I'd love for you to talk about, how folks, let me kind of back up. So many times people who receive charity, may not have the proper headspace for, and I know I'm going about this not the right way to get to a point, but sometimes people don't see it as a hand up. They see it as a hand out, or they see it as maybe they're insulted, or, you know, or how do you manage with people coming in that are getting dentistry at reduced fees, or in some cases, no fees? How are they compensating you? Because I think it's a conversation real worthy of having. We talked about this a little bit before. Because I think it manages a real important mental, it provides a real important mental screw that needs to be turned for those patients. So it isn't just, I'm coming and getting something for free and I'm out of here.
I had absolutely no interest in becoming another entitlement where people come in demanding and telling me what I have to do for them. Because they're entitled to it. That's, and you know, some of my experience with giving work away in the past has been that it's just wasn't appreciated and taken care of. And I just basically wasted my time and their time because it just started falling apart as soon as I was done. And, that wasn't because it was done poorly. It's because they just didn't value it and didn't take care of it.
Right.
So if you're going to receive discounted dental care in our office, you have to fill out an application. And I require some, you know, a couple of years of financial documentation of your need. Mm-hmm. You're required to also get some letters of recommendation. So they have to jump through some hoops. I want them to know from the get-go that, you know, this isn't, it's up to me whether I'm going to do this or not. It's not something that you're entitled to.
Right.
And it helps me weed out a few people. If, you know, if they don't have the time to take care of that, then they're probably not going to have the time to take care of it either.
Yeah.
So there's an application process. And then, like I mentioned earlier, they have to agree to, number one, they do pay money. They have to pay what they can afford. I don't like to see people in debt themselves longer than about 6 months worth. So that's kind of what I limit. What can you afford for the next 6 months? That's kind of what I limit it to.
Yeah.
And then for the balance, they have to volunteer somewhere. They have to pay it forward. They have to pay it back, pay it forward somehow so that, they're getting out there, and you know, that's not only does it help them get some skin in the game and value more what they're doing, but I I have a burr under my saddle right now that I think, you know, the salvation of our nation, so to speak, is going to be in entrepreneurs doing what so many people expect the government to do. You know, we provide jobs, take care of people. Social entrepreneurship is the buzzword for it. But, you know, companies and businesses, including our practices, that exist for a greater purpose than just building our bank accounts. We are in business because we believe in freedom, and you can't have freedom without love, and vice versa. So if you value freedom, I think you really need to become a part of your DNA that you are looking out for your brother. And so it's a lesson in my little corner of the world I'm trying to teach.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I think that pay it forward thing, not only do they value it, I think there's a, you know, they value it more and probably even greater in most cases. But I think it addresses a real important component that oftentimes gets overlooked. And that is, you know, if I'm going to receive something, you know, and it's based in part on someone's giving, the way I feel good about accepting or receiving that gift is by paying it forward. And so I think emotionally, you know, that, as I said earlier, that screw gets turned and tightened or whatever, and it sort of completes the loop. It doesn't leave this gaping hole where, you know, someone has received something and they don't give back, you know, in some fashion. So I just love the way it's a complete, you know, it's a total, you know, fixed loop, if you will. So I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Okay. I got another question I want to throw at you. I know you started an online study club that's affiliated with the Dawson Academy recently.
Yeah.
In our last, you know, 7-8 minutes together. I'd love for you to talk about that because again, I think, you know, you've had such a unique, life path in dentistry. I know you're a very giving guy. There's a lot that folks can learn, from you and, you know, and your philosophy, I think, is just talking to you. I'm sure my blood pressure is down to where it should be just talking to you because you just calm me down. I'm not so wound up. So talk a little bit about your affiliated study club there with the Dawson Academy.
Well, I would like to be able to help other dentists do more social entrepreneurship in their practices. And so I've got this, started this co-op, we call it Liberty Dental Co-op. And, what we're doing is, you know, there's other co-ops out there. You know, the idea of course is to, if you buy in bulk, that, you're going to get a better discount, on things. So, you know, we have that to offer to people. In addition, that's one of the things that makes it unique is that we do have this study club that we just recently started as well. And it is a Dawson Academy study club. What's unique about it, there is another one as well, but, you know, most study clubs are regional and, if you're within driving distance, you go to the study club. This one is online, so it's something that could be accessed by anybody, anywhere, you know. So whatever. And financially, it's a great deal because it's going to cost you a whole lot less money to get the benefits of the study club from the Dawson Academy than it would be if you were to have to go back there. You know, that's a lot of the courses are offered free to our study club members. But the thing that really excites me about being involved with the Dawson Academy is they really are the front runners right now in promoting the systemic oral connection. Whit Wilkerson, who's one of the faculty members there, he was a dental practice partner of Pete Dawson. He's really taken the lead on that. He just came out with a book called The Shift. It just came out in January that's talking about how to integrate oral systemic treatment in your practice. He's also a past president of the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health. So I really see the Dawson Academy as being on the forefront of that, and just excited to be able to work with them and bring this education to anybody that wants it. You know, I see it, you know, if you're somebody like me, you're stuck in the boondocks and you can't, you know, get into a physical study club is hard. It's great for you. If you are an established comprehensive dentist, but you're wanting to bring on an associate, how do you get them up to speed? Well, here's a really economical way to get your associate up to speed, get them in a study club like this. And, and all the foundational occlusal work and things, those courses are available. The whole seminar is available online that way. And then our individual study club meetings, we go over material that the Dawson Academy's put together. And then I get a chance to talk with people about the issues in their own practices and the challenges that they're having integrating whole health into their practices. And whether it's from a marketing standpoint or from a clinical standpoint, we get to talk about those things.
Yeah. You bring up a real important point, is the integration. I mean, so often you and I have both seen this from docs we've worked with. They go to a CE course, they learn a new skill, insert whatever skill it might be. Ortho, right. You know, maybe some advanced periodontal treatment techniques, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Implants, the list goes on and on. Sleep's a big one, because I know some doctors that have spent enormous sums of money to integrate sleep in their practice. I mean, enormous, stupid money. And I'm sure many of them feel it's stupid money now, maybe not, I don't know. but when it comes to integrating something new, like taking oral systemic health information and integrating into a practice, where do you see the biggest, where's the biggest roadblock that you're seeing with doctors that you're working with?
It really doesn't matter, you know, whether it's, like you say, it could be cosmetics. That was the deal, you know, 10 years ago, is everybody wanted to be a cosmetic dentist.
Right.
And integrating occlusion and TMJ into your practice, or whether it's systemic health into your practice, there's just, you get home from the seminar and your staff rolls their eyes when you talk to them. And, you know, they say, just give him 2 weeks and we'll be back to normal. Yeah. And unfortunately, it usually is that way, you know. So the biggest roadblock, I think, is having a contrarian mindset. If you're going to integrate something that the rest of the guys in the community haven't done, you have to be a bit of a contrarian. And that probably is one of the gifts my parents gave me my life, was the freedom to be contrary, you know. And but yeah, everybody needs to have the mindset of, I'm going to take the road less traveled. Mm-hmm. And there will be a price to pay for that one way or the other, but the benefits so far outweigh the price that you pay for taking that road. But that's the first step, is just get your head in the right place. And then don't be looking for, you know, you're not trying to be an overnight wonder. Take it one step at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sell. The first person to sell on this, in other words, is you, right?
Exactly. You have to really be sold on it.
Yeah.
That this is the way you're going to go.
Yeah. And then it's selling one person at a time inside your practice, the people that you work with, your employees, your team, selling them on the concept and why it's important and why. Yeah. And then building it, like, you know, it's not unlike how you built your latest practice. I started with a Dremel and a chair, you know, and now it's built out. And really that's how anything starts. But boy, we're a very impatient society, and we want things yesterday. And sometimes it's not good to have them right away. Sometimes it's good to struggle a little bit.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, that's why you don't give your car the brand, your kids the brand new Mercedes. You know, you say, here's a job. Start putting some money in the bank.
That's exactly right.
And yeah, you probably aren't going to buy the Mercedes the first time around.
Yep.
But yeah, so take it one step at a time. Work your way into it.
Yeah, good advice. I mean, I can't think of a better way to end this this conversation. Lon, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we ought to talk more often because you know, you bring this really nice Zen feeling to me. And I'm sure my listeners can feel it as well. It's just always really good to speak with you. I want to make sure folks who are interested in learning more about the work you're doing, including the Dawson Academy affiliated online study club there. I think you call it the Liberty Dental Co-op. Is that correct?
Liberty Dental Co-op is a good way to get hold of me. There's a website for that. Or you can just do Dr. Lon Peckham, drlonpeckham.com. And that's just a, that website is actually just a table of contents. There's some links there that you can go to three or four different websites that we got going about different things. But it's kind of, I drive my wife crazy. She says, I can't keep track of all the stuff you got going on. Neither can I.
It's not the point. We're not trying to keep track. We're just trying to do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you go to libertydentalcoop.com and the contact information will be there, and be glad to talk to you about becoming a member of the study club or whatever else we might be able to help you save some money on or whatever.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Well, I want to mention one other thing about the co-op. You know, like I said, there's other co-ops, but one of the things that's unique about our co-op, besides the Dawson Study Club part of it, is I'm very consistent in what I just said about believing in social entrepreneurship. And so 100% of what we make from that goes back into our nonprofit dental clinic here as well. So
that's a win-win. I mean, everybody wins in that scenario. I love it. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, anybody that listens to this, go sign up for Lon's Liberty Dental Co-op. And when you get signed up, send me your receipt and I'm going to send you a package of practice building material that's easily worth $4,000 easily.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to give, and one of those things is our brand new continuing care system. And it's just, I mean, every practice needs to have a system that's written down that everybody religiously follows. And that's what the system is. I'll give that and another something else too. Because I believe in what Lon's doing and I believe you should be a part of his co-op. So go do that.
Right, thank you so much. We hadn't talked about that. That's a total surprise to me here right now, but thank you.
Yeah, I would love to do it. So just send me some evidence of your involvement. That's all I need. And I'll send you a nice package and on me and just for joining the co-op, because I believe in the work that Lon's doing in his clinic and also to spreading his knowledge to other docs. So, Lon, pleasure, sir. And let's not be too stranger passing, you know, along I-5 or, you know, I-90 over in Eastern Washington or someplace. Let's stay in touch.
All right, Jerry. Thanks again.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in.